The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Swish and Flick. I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie. This episode is sponsored by Lindsay Wobbs. So thank you to all our patrons, especially her today, because we couldn't do what we do without you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So today's going to be a little different. All our schedules are a little crazy right now. Everything's cool, don't worry. We'll be back to our Chamber of Secrets analysis, of course, next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But today, me and Meg just got back last week. Was it really just last week?
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. We just got back from Orlando, Florida. Big surprise, because we're there all the time. So today we're going to be discussing our weekend at the celebration of Harry Potter. But before we begin, Meg, let's talk about the Weekly Prophet.
All right. This is also kind of a different type of Weekly Prophet than we're used to, because we're going to talk about a lot of news in this episode, so I don't want to highlight something in the Weekly Prophet when we're going to discuss it.
That's fair.
So we wanted to let all of our listeners know that Swish and Flick is heading to the Big Apple next February.
Woohoo!
We are going to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway, February 21st and 22nd in New York, obviously.
Where?
New York City.
Oh.
So if anybody's going to be there, let us know. We would love to meet up with you.
Whether you're going to be at the play or just if you live in New York City.
Yeah, where are all of our New Yorkers at? So let us know.
Where are New Yorkers at?
And we're going to set up a Swisher meetup.
Yes. They're always fun.
We should do a Swisher meetup like in Central Park where Jacob and Newt go into the case.
Oh, sure, because it'll be February and it'll be very cold.
Yeah. I wonder. No, they did it. I was going to say, I wonder if there's filming locations in New York for that, but they did it all in Lovesden. So,
of course.
But anyway, we're going to set up a meetup. Anybody who lives in the area or wants to come in during that time, we're going to do something.
We've done a small handful before, and it's always just, it's a good time because it's really fun to meet our listeners, and we always try and bring a little grab bag of something for whoever's there.
And it's going to be all four of us this time.
Yes.
So.
Not just our boring faces.
Yeah. So let's go to Katie with the recap from last week.
You did that wrong.
I'm not Tiffany. I can't do her
you
part.
You have to be Tiffany today.
Recap.
Thank you. So last time, poor Ron got a howler. Poor thing. And Harry had a horrible day because Lockhart kept thinking that he was trying to get attention by flying in a flying car and lots of other fun things. But Harry just wanted to get through his classes. We got to find out what mandrakes were, and we met Colin Creevy. And we also got to see just how big of a doofus Lockhart is.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so but on now, from our horrible recap.
But now on to not the next chapter of the book.
Yeah, definitely not today.
Katie, why don't you tell us what is the celebration of Harry Potter for any of our listeners who don't know what this annual event is in Orlando, Florida?
First of all, it's amazing. We've gone every year since it started. So this is the fifth year that they put it on. The first year that it was on, me and Meg were doing our college program in Florida. So it was kind of just by luck that we got to go, and we got to go every single day. And it was
not very organized that first year either. It's gotten much better since then.
So I'm going to read what Meg actually put in here so that I can do like an actual...
This is direct from the Universal website.
Yeah, an actual definition of the Harry Potter, or celebration of Harry Potter. It's a magical 3-day event presented by Warner Brothers and Universal Orlando Resort. You can enjoy film talent, Q&A sessions, Q&A sessions, special panels, demonstrations, and new surprises. A celebration of Harry Potter takes place over 3 days inside Universal Studios Florida and Universal's Islands of Adventure. And most of the events are included with, you get like, your regular theme park admission gets you in. So you don't have to buy a special ticket for this special event, which is pretty cool. And obviously, if you have an annual pass, you can go in. It's basically like the biggest Harry Potter con.
It's like a con. Yeah, it's a con that takes place inside a theme park. So it's a little bit different, obviously. Mm-hmm. So there's... next up, what we want to talk about is the expo, as they call it. So, like, what I compare the expo to in terms of a con is, like, that, like, when you walk into a con and there's all of those booths, but, like, at a con, all of those booths are trying to sell you stuff, whereas these booths are literally just there. I mean, I guess they are trying to sell you stuff. They're trying to sell you to come to their thing.
Right.
But, like, there's not really anything there for you to purchase. It's just to go and see behind the scenes of Harry Potter, the exhibition, or Levsden Studios, the studio tour, or Cursed Child.
Or props.
Exactly. So it's a cooler grouping of booths, I would think, than mm-hmm. a normal con.
So they have them inside, like... So Universal has, like, these giant sound stages.
Backstage area.
Yeah, you don't really even notice they're there. But they usually use them, they used to use them for Halloween Horror Nights, which is like their big haunted house event that they put on every fall. But for the celebration, they use it for these expos. So like Meg said, it's just packed with all these Harry Potter memorabilia and information and like fun games and like weird things that you can do.
I thought that we could go through each one and basically talk about like what was there.
Yeah, go for it.
So they had two buildings this year. The very first couple years, they had crammed it all into one, and then it slowly became too much, and they divided it into two. Plus, the line to get into this thing is ridiculous.
Finally figured out how to work the system. But.
Yes. If you don't go to the expo first thing in the morning on one of the days that you're there, you're waiting 2 hours to 3 hours to get in.
Now, we're talking park opens, or early, okay, so the park opens at 9:00. But if you're staying at a resort...
Or if you have a certain level annual pass...
You can get in an hour before that. So for us, park opened at 8:00. We got there at 7:00, waited to get in at 8:00, and then immediately went to stand in line for the expo. And even then, I mean, we were not the first people.
So I guess really we waited 2 hours.
Right. Right? Yes, but it didn't take up our actual park time.
Exactly. So. I didn't want to.
I never thought of that before.
So basically, no matter what, you're waiting about 2 hours to get into this thing. But if you get there super early, as Katie just said, it doesn't cut into your park time, really. So, like, it opens at 9, but then, sorry, that's our cat. If you can even hear that.
He's like trying to claw his way into the room.
If you get there at 9, you're waiting 2 hours from 9. So, like, you're talking 2 hours of your park time wasted, plus other panels and stuff are going on at park open. So
it's
you're
very
missing.
Scheduled. So.
Yes. This is not something that you can go in and just willy-nilly, like, oh, I'm going to wing it. At least I don't think so. I'm sure that there are people that do it that way and they're fine with it. But, like, I need. First of all, this is my favorite weekend of the year ever. And I can't imagine going in there and not planning because there's so much that goes on. Mm-hmm. You want to see everything. And we missed a ton.
We did, yeah. This was a different weekend for us because we did a very, very short version of it.
Yeah, normally we're there much longer, but we couldn't get time off for work. So we had to do like a late Friday night flight and a late Sunday night flight. So we
were essentially there for like
a day and a half.
Yes. Worth it, though. Yeah. Definitely worth it.
So there's two sound stages that the expo takes place in. The first one is Soundstage 21. And this is where the first one on the list is the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child booth. We actually didn't go in, but I do know what was in there.
We went in it last year and had different stuff.
Yes, but some of the same stuff.
Oh, okay.
I saw pictures. There was a long line, and there were other things that were more important that we wanted to do, so we skipped it. But
we peeked in, don't worry.
Yes. So what you got to see in there was basically they had like a recap summary of what the play is, kind of like on the wall. There's like different things you can read that were like in their booth. It's like this little room that you went into, and it was like a tour kind of Cursed mm-hmm. Child. So you went in, you got to see Hermione's outfit that she wears. You got to see Harry's outfit, Ron's outfit, and then you also got to see Albus and Scorpius's wands.
Which I think this is only the second time they've ever been on display. Last year,
yes.
The celebration was the first time that they had ever been, like, released to the public.
Yeah, nobody had ever seen them up close and personal besides mm-hmm. the cast of Cursed Child. So that was really cool. And then also they had, like, the banners from the houses that you could take pictures with.
Which they have the I'm in love with these because it's, like, it's just an H, like, for Hufflepuff, but the H looks like a badger face, and the S is a snake for Slytherin. They're so cute. They're really cool. And last year, actually, you had to wait in that line to take a picture with those, but this year they just had them out, which was kind of nice. You could just walk up and take pictures
cool.
with them.
So the next one, this is the Harry Potter, Warner Brothers Studio Tour London, the making of Harry Potter, in Soundstage 21. So it's not the room that you went into, it was just the props. It was like all those Goblet of Fire props that they had. They had the omnoculars.
Oh, okay. I remember. Okay. I'm getting the two mixed up.
Yeah.
I'm good now.
Oh, I knew you were going to, so that's why, that's why I said it really quick before you talk about it. That's the other soundstage. So, yeah, some of these stands span both soundstages. So, like, the studio tour in London brought so many props that they couldn't all fit in one of the expo halls. So they then scattered them into the second expo. So there was Harry Potter's crib, his mobile.
When you walked in, that was the first thing you saw, and it was just like,
it was kind of
sad. Sad.
Because, well, then they also had,
which brought you back to reality.
They also had like a wax baby Harry with the note to Petunia in it. And he had green eyes.
Oh, I was just going to say that was the only good thing.
But he looks pretty creepy.
But it was like his little blanket swaddle, you know.
I imagine that's like the baby that Hagrid was holding or something when he came, you know. That's what I'm assuming that was used for. What else did they have?
They had the Portkey boot.
I thought that was really cool. Like, it's really random, a random prop, but I liked it.
It was bigger than I thought. It was a big boot.
It's huge.
And then they
had... It's like Hagrid size.
Yeah. And then they had a snitch. I don't know like what it was from, or I don't think it was like the open at the close snitch or anything, but...
No.
They had...
Sirius's Azkaban sign.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool.
About. I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I hope that Sirius is not Bellatrix. And it was. They had omnoculars.
Those are really like intricate and cool.
Yeah, they're amazing. And the funny thing is leading up to this weekend, we tried to watch all the movies because, you know, we've never seen them before. And
We got through Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, we got through five because we were just so busy that week. But that was the when we watched Goblet of Fire, that was the first time I noticed Ron holding the omnoculars. And then we go to the celebration and like there they are.
It was very Goblet of Fire centric in terms of the props, mm-hmm. I feel. Because they also had the Quidditch World Cup program. Mm-hmm. They had Rita Skeeter's quill.
Oh yeah, the quick quotes quill.
Yep.
I think that might have been it for props.
And that, oh, and then they also had that whole little, they brought the chair that Slughorn used in Half-Blood Prince. So, like.
Guys.
It was so cool.
It was so cool.
They had like. I'm trying to remember his name, like his real name. Horace Slughorn's real name.
Oh, this is going to bother me because he's in like a million things.
Yeah, he's like a really popular actor and I feel like an idiot because I can't remember it.
Here, look it up on here. But yeah, they had his like, in Half-Blood Prince when you meet him for the first time and he's in like those stripy pajamas, they had that outfit. And then right next to it, they had like the armchair, which we found out.
Jim Broadbent. Sorry. Thank you.
Which we found out is like, that was not CGI at all. Like him becoming like from an armchair to a human being. Mm-hmm. That was like in that weird in-between stage.
Yeah, that was kind of the Studio Tour London's thing that they did this year was they talked about the visual effects in the movies a lot. Every year they kind of do like a theme. Like last year it was the dark arts and then they talked about like wand making. And then this year it was all about like visual effects and how Harry Potter in general tried really hard to stray away from CGI as many times as possible.
Right. Obviously there were some things they couldn't do, but if they could, they would do practical effects as opposed to CGI.
So, yeah, the whole Slughorn thing, like, the only thing that's CGI is at the very end of it, whenever he shakes his arms and they turn into his hands, obviously, they had to use CGI for that.
I like that part. It goes, poo.
Yeah. But whenever he was sitting and his head pops out of it, that's all practical. And then he stands up and it, like, still looks like a chair. That's practical.
It was so cool because they, like, showed us. Like, we went up to this little stand and these guys just started talking about it. And they're like, here, look. And they, like, lifted it up and, like, showed you where his head popped out. And
it's
they turned
just
it around
made of foam.
Yeah, it's like you can hold it with one finger. It's just so light.
Yeah. So that was really awesome. And then
we actually got a video of it, which we'll be putting on Main Street, I think.
Yeah, Main Street. We got a ton of footage this weekend. And I just ended our vlogs on our last trip in December. Mm-hmm. So Main Street 9 3/4 now for the next couple of weeks is going to be... the celebration.
Yeah, so if we got the whole thing that they showed us, like the whole demo, so we'll be putting that on there for sure.
The next stand is Pottermore and Audible. Do you want to talk about that one? Do you remember what they do, Audible?
Only slightly. You go.
So Audible, for the past 2 years, they've done a trivia challenge, basically. So Audible, anybody who doesn't know, Audible is Amazon's... it's an Amazon company, and you can get, what am I trying to say?
Like audiobooks?
Audiobooks, yes. So, so it's like a subscription for audiobooks. And they just recently added all of the Harry Potter audiobooks to it. Like, I think it was just 2 years ago. So like last year was the first year Audible was there. They talked about how all of the books were coming. So this year they were just back again to remind you that you can get the Harry Potter books on Audible. But then they do this trivia thing where you listen to a part of the book and then you answer a question on it.
And like the film talent did a round of this too. We weren't there for that, obviously.
Yeah, we didn't see that. But I know that, yeah, they do that every year.
Those lucky people who got to do it with them, though.
I know.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine though? Like, I bet you'd probably beat them.
Some of them for sure.
I don't know about Ivana.
No.
She wasn't there this year, but Ivana Lynch, oh my gosh, she would probably own all of us. So yeah, and then they partner with Pottermore because you can get the audiobooks on Pottermore.com as well. And then Pottermore recently just opened their shop to the U.S. It hadn't been open to the U.S. before that. So you can get awesome, like, stationery and prints and all the audiobooks on their website. So they had brought, like, this really cool stand with all of the prints that you could get, and then they brought some prints there that you could buy. We actually bought one. We bought the Ginny one. What does it say?
Anything's possible if you've got enough nerve.
Yeah, that. One of my favorite Ginny quotes that they didn't use in the movies.
Well, they gave her like 50 lines.
I know.
So, one of them being, good luck. Yeah. Poor Bonnie.
Warner Brothers Home Entertainment was the VR experience.
Oh, this was really cool. I didn't do it. I filmed it, so hopefully I got some good footage of that. But
I did it.
Just watching Meg do it was insane. And like the way she reacted, because, okay, VR is like virtual reality, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's come a long way from like what I remember the weird things being like when we were younger.
Right.
But I watched Meg put this headset on and immediately she was like, whoa, oh my God.
Yeah, it was the coolest experience. So they had...
I guess we should explain, like, what you did.
Yeah. So this was one of the things that, like, we ran to this because the line had been so long to do it. Got to the parks at 7, waited until 8 for it to open, ran to this expo. We were, like, third in line and somehow wound up...
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how it happened either. People must have like, oh, you know what? It was because people who had the passes to get in before us.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, off the point. I ran to this VR experience because the wait had been like 3 to 4 hours every day to do this.
They only have like 5 headsets going on at one time.
It's ridiculous.
It's like a 2-minute thing. So.
Yeah. But you got to go inside Newt's case. So... We waited like, I mean, when we waited like an hour and a half, even after 9 o'clock to get this. And we met this really amazing lady named Marie.
Shout out to Marie.
Yeah. I don't know if you're, I mean, we told you about Swish and Flick. I don't know if you're going to listen, but, I loved talking to you. She's like, she's an older lady who is as huge of a fan as we are. And
it was me in like 30 years.
It was amazing. So that was awesome. And we talked with her for like the entire time. And then finally it was my turn. And yeah, you put this headset on and then they give you this thing to hold in your hand. And it turns into, they like explain the controls. Like, okay, this button is to select. This button is to go back. And then you'll use this hand almost as if you're holding a wand and you'll cast spells to make the animals do different things. So you go into his case and you can just, I mean, like, you just look around like normal with this headset on and you see the Thunderbirds location where Frank is at. You see
Frank.
You see the Akami, you see the Niffler. What else did I see?
Those are the ones you did. Were there more?
Yeah.
Oh, you can do the Arumpent. I saw someone doing
it. I did the Arumpent. I did 4.
Oh, geez. Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Arumpent is the one that I did first.
Did you do the Akami?
I didn't.
Okay.
I think that I didn't do the Akami, but I had watched somebody else do the Akami.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then you cast these spells and they like do different things. Like the Niffler, you would cast a spell to like throw a piece of gold and he would like come running and get it. And he was really cute.
Meg like did it and she's like, oh my God, it's so cute.
I like just wanted to reach out and pet it. And then it was really awesome with the Thunderbird. Like if they could figure out a way to like make wind hit you or something, it would make that experience
oh
even
God.
Cooler because, well, first of all, just... So this headset you put on, like, has earphones on it. So, like, you're hearing things. And it's, like, surround sound almost. So you're, like, in this area where the Thunderbird is, and he comes down, and like you can just like hear his wings like flapping, and I feel like I should have been able to feel like wind on my face. So if they could figure that out, it would take this to a whole nother level. But that was really awesome and worth the wait. But you can like get that to play at home. I think that's why they were showing it to you. Like, if you have the VR, like, if you have a whole VR headset, like, set up, you can actually get that game to play anytime. So, it's cool. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. We did not go to this stand, but...
What was this?
This was the demo for Hogwarts Mystery, the RPG game.
Again, long line.
You watched a demo, though, didn't you?
Mm-mm.
Who did? Was it Sarah?
It wasn't me.
But, well, basically, I saw a little bit of a demo for it. And you can, like, it's like The Sims almost, like, with how detailed you can get with, like, your character.
I'm kissing my life goodbye when this comes out.
I can't wait. It looked really awesome. But, yeah, the line was really long. And then the last stand in there was the Harry Potter film concert series. And they had...
Which is the new thing that they're doing, excuse me, where they're, like, touring the country, and they're playing a live orchestra plays the music as you watch the film.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Meg have seen Sorcerer's Stone. We have tickets to see Chamber in April.
And I think that Prisoner is coming to some places, our area in the fall, winter.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
And Goblet of Fire is starting.
Yeah, it's so crazy because, like, the people who are going to drop the money to go see this, to see a movie they've seen 1,000 times, are the real fans. So it's like going to a midnight showing again.
It's the coolest experience.
Highly recommend.
I can't wait to go in April. But, yeah, they had sheet music on display from the people who are... So, like, we'll talk about this more when we get to the panels because we saw the panel on... the film concert series, so I'll save that story. But they have sheet music on display from the person who helped adapt it to be able to be played the way that it's played for these movies, which is cool.
Is so, that sum up Soundstage 21?
Yeah, that's a long summary, but yeah.
So yeah, then, so this is actually like, that's the new building that they've mm-hmm. added things to. So the original building is Soundstage 33. So the things that are in here have always been in here.
Yep.
It just has gotten so big that they needed an entire other warehouse to put things in. So in here, there's Scholastic. So they've got like a whole... Oh, and behind Scholastic, they have something called the Muggle Wall, which always kind of upsets me because, like, I'm not a Muggle.
Yeah.
But it's this giant piece of canvas, and they have these buckets of Sharpies, and you're supposed to write on there what Harry Potter means to you. And we've done it every single year, and we come up with something. And, like, people will go up there and draw, like, this one guy drew this beautiful Akami.
Oh, my gosh. I got footage of it.
I wonder if he's the same guy that drew Dobby that one year. Do you remember that Dobby?
Yeah, that was amazing. Crazy. But this guy who drew the Akami, like, he made an Akami. Like, I think he was cosplaying Newt.
Mm-hmm.
And he made an alchemy. It was beautiful.
Like around his neck, like a boa, but like, oh, it was so cool.
Yeah.
So Scholastic hands out like these really cool posters. They did a Sorcerer's Stone one, Chamber, and then this year was Prisoner. So I obviously was super stoked. And they've just got like little pamphlet giveaways and stuff.
They gave away a really cool pin this year too. It's because this year is the 20th anniversary of Sorcerer's Stone in America with Scholastic. So... they made 20 years of magic pins.
They're actually really cute.
Yeah, they are.
We may have gotten... Oh, wait, that's not true. But we may have found somewhere some extra stuff.
We have extra celebration stuff, and we have an autograph of the new illustrator for these 20th anniversary editions that are going to be coming out over the years. He got the job for the Scholastic reissues, and they're beautiful. They're like pencil.
Oh, it's crazy.
They're so good. But we have one with a little sneak peek of the Sorcerer's Stone cover with his autograph that we're definitely going to be giving away.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to try and save that giveaway, though, like for when that comes out in July.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. But we have it, and it will be given away to one of our beautiful listeners.
Yes.
Yeah, the Scholastic Wall is always a lot of fun. And then they also had this year, they had this little, like, Sorcerer's Stone... cover of the book that you could go in the middle of with a broom And you could take your picture like you're Harry catching the snitch on the cover of Sorcerer's Stone, like the OG cover. Katie's freaking out because she wants to tell you about something else they had there.
I can't believe but I think forgot that, about this.
But I think that that was actually like the studio tour.
Okay, I'll wait.
Yeah, wait.
Okay.
They just had stuff around the expo.
Okay.
Hold your horses. She's so excited. But the Scholastic stand also shows you all of the cool books that they have out right now for you to get, like all the cool new coloring books that they have and the illustrated editions. And
they had this new Honeydukes book. I didn't get to look at it.
It was Honeydukes, like, coloring book.
Oh, it looks, the cover looks so cool.
I'm looking it up on Amazon and pre-ordering it. I don't think it's out yet.
No, I doubt it.
Hi, Iggy.
We have a podcast cat buddy today.
Oh, he fell. Ow! He's clawing me. Okay. Next up is the Warner Brothers Studio Tour London. Again, the making of Harry Potter, but in the other soundstage. Now, this one, my cat is falling behind me again. Iggy.
He's being really obnoxious.
Get it together, yo. Now, this one, this is what we ran to the first morning to go see.
This is my favorite thing to do.
I agree. It's awesome. They take, so, like, you go in there and there's this massive, the first year that they did this, I had no idea what was in there.
I don't think we went.
I don't think we did either, because I was like, what is that? It's just like, you can't see what's inside, and there's this massive line to get into it, and I'm like, well, I can't even see what's in there. Like, why am I going to wait 2 hours?
Do you see a trend here? Lines.
Lines everywhere. But anybody who goes, this line is worth it.
Yeah. If you're going to wait in the line, do this one.
2 years ago, so we've done it for the past 3 years. I think it was the second year they started doing the building, and we didn't see it.
Yeah.
But 3 years ago, they had Death Eaters that you got your picture taken with. So, like, they were dueling you. It was so cool.
It was intimidating.
And they were wearing, like, the legitimate costumes from the films. Yeah. So, like, that was your prop that you got to take a picture with. Last year, they had the legitimate Aragog, who was in the movies, hanging above you, and you got your picture taken below it.
He's huge and scary.
Yeah. This
so
year.
So scary.
This year was amazing. This was the best one.
They stepped it up.
This was the best one. So what they did was they talked about visual effects, like we said before. So they wanted to show you all of the props that were used to make practical effects. So the first one that you got to see was the actual Goblet of Fire, which was really cool. It's made, so there's two apparently. One is actually carved out of wood, and it was more so just like a visual one that they used for the movies. Not the one that, like, did the effects. So that one is actually still in London. This one is usually with that one, but they brought it over. It's made of fiberglass. It looks exactly like the wood one.
Yes.
And it was glowing blue, like the blue flames. That was really cool when they turned that on.
It's not just, like, okay, you'd think you'd go there and they, like, push a button and it just, like, turns blue. No, it looked like it was frothing blue light. It was crazy. Like, we're standing right in front of this thing and it looks like we're staring at the movie. Yeah. It was awesome.
And then they shot out Harry's name out of the Goblet of Fire and it looked just like it did in the movie.
And Meg didn't tell me. She knew this. And the girl next to me caught it and she opens it and it's Harry's name. And I was like, oh, I know. So close.
And I'm like, well, I'm not waiting in this line again to get another one.
Right.
So that was really cool. And then behind us, they had a whole wall of proclamations, which was really cool. Oh,
it was like a whole wall. There had to have been like 20 of them lined against
if not
the
more.
Wall.
Yeah, they were awesome. But then they, so like, obviously that's not a visual effect, but what they put those up for was because they brought Professor Umbridge's outfit that she wore when Fred and George threw all the fireworks everywhere.
And she's like on smoking.
Like, the smoking on her outfit was practical. They, like, put all of these wires and tubes through this dress to make it look like it was on fire or, like, singed and smoking.
Like, smoldering, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so cool. You tell them about the next one.
Oh, and then, so then you turn around, and they had the Dursleys' door, like, with the mail slot, so that when Harry's getting all those letters, and they come flying through the mail slot. So we're standing there and they're like, yeah, we're actually going to show you, like, it's actually going to spit letters out at you. And she's like, you might want to stand back a little bit
and get your cameras ready.
Yeah.
I wish I would have done a slow-mo.
Oh, that would have been so cool. We can slow it down.
I can. Yeah. Cause we got it on the good camera.
So it literally spit out all of these letters and they like spilled all over the
floor. It had to have been like 50 letters.
Yeah. And then she's like, okay, you guys can grab some of those. So it was like kids at a party with a pinata, like trying to pick up candy.
But adults.
Just like scrambling. But we got some extras of those, so we will
be... A ton, actually.
We'll be happily giving some of those away as well. And then after that... Oh, and then you
After that was the photo spot.
Yes. But another cool thing about this was it was on the floor was the actual carpet. Well, hold on.
Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You go the room that you go into to get your picture taken you almost made me say Weasley because you said the Weasley's door, the Dursley's living room. So,
thanks for setting that up for me. So, since you're going into the living room, the actual carpet from the Dursley's living room was on the floor, so you actually got to walk on that gaudy pink carpet, and they were like, I'm shocked, though, because they wouldn't let you set your bags down. It was like, God, you want me to take my shoes off, too? Right. But it was really cool. It was quite plush.
Yeah, so then they, like, they didn't really have any other, like, props to make it look like the living room. It was just, like, on the wall. But yeah. You got to take your picture underneath the floating pudding from Chamber of Secrets.
It was a lot smaller than I thought.
Yeah. And then... And then they showed you blown up Aunt Marge, and she's, like, hanging above you, and you got your picture underneath her.
She was so big.
Yeah.
She was, like, a giant exercise ball. That's what it looked like. And then it was over, sad.
Yeah. And then, what did the exhibition have in there? Oh, they had all the costumes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot That's about right. that.
So the exhibition, Harry Potter the Exhibition, I thought that was Iggy, but it was you.
Nah, he's snoozing.
The exhibition had this, like, stage that you could go up, and they had costumes from Fantastic Beasts and the Harry Potter series. So they
like,
had...
Like, so close to you. I mean, yeah, you could be, like, a foot away.
I could touch him if I wanted.
We didn't, but
no.
I wanted to.
Yeah. So they had Serafina Pickery... from Fantastic Beasts. They had Tina and Queenie's, like, flapper dresses.
From The Blind Pig.
Yes. I'm trying to think if they had another...
I think that was all the Fantastic Beasts ones.
Yeah. And then they had Bellatrix's outfit.
Like her, like, black dress, like, original, like...
Yeah.
Not like Azkaban.
No, yeah, it was like her black outfit. Lucius's fur coat from Chamber of Secrets, that outfit that he has when he's talking to the minister.
Looked quite regal.
Oh, wait. That's not Chamber of Secrets. That's Half-Blood Prince.
I was going to say Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. That one.
We've watched
Sorry, guys. It's Order of the Phoenix whenever Harry and Arthur are going down to his hearing and you see Lucius and the minister talking in the hallway. it's that outfit.
You know what, though? It might be Goblet, too. He might have worn it to the Quidditch World Cup.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
He wore it in the films. That's all we know.
Then you see Ginny's dress that she wore to Bill and Fleur's wedding. Mm-hmm. You see Luna's outfit to the Christmas party. Slughorn's Christmas party. And which then her so bracelet cool. mm-hmm. that Ivana made. And it's her Patronus. And shout out to Stephanie Santarpio. I think I said that right. But I posted, while we were there, I posted a picture of the bracelet. And I was like, first person to tell me what this is gets a prize from the celebration. And Stephanie guessed it right the first time.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, good job. That was awesome. So it's a bracelet of Luna's Patronus. So it's like her rabbit Patronus. And she like beaded it. It's beautiful.
It's really cool.
Then we had the twins' suits.
From like when they're in their shop in Diagon Alley.
And then Victor Crumb's outfit.
Like his Yule like, Ball yeah. outfit.
No.
Yeah, the red with the fur on the oh, shoulder. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then Tonks.
Yeah. And they had those because those two were there as the talent. I'm sure that's why they brought them.
It was like a cool, like, I don't know if it's actually Dragonhide, but like some sweet jacket. And mm-hmm. I thought it's really cool to see these up close because I noticed like even like her shoes, they look like worn Tonks shoes, you know, like they mm-hmm. look like she's had them for years. And, you know, it's really cool to just like see these things so tangible and in front of you. And I didn't mention this, but those other props like the Porky boot and Sirius's Azkaban sign, like these things aren't behind a rope. They're in a glass case, but I could push my face against yeah, this glass. Yeah,
you were glass. So close. It was awesome.
And you can just see this detail, and it's really cool to be able to see something that up close and personal.
Being able to go into that Warner Brothers studio tour thing also, like, so, like, we've seen all the stuff that they've had for the studio tour every single year we've gone, but, like, we're going there this year. So it was just, like, extra special. Because mm-hmm. I was, like, you know, they at the end you walk out and they give you this bag with, like,
you should visit the studio
yeah,
tour.
And like every year I'm like, yeah, yeah, I want to. But like they handed it to me this year and I'm like, I should keep this and read it because like I'm going to need it. Mm-hmm. My eyes are watering.
I was just going to say.
I'm like so excited to go. It's unreal. And then do you want to talk about the thing you got super excited about?
Yeah. Oh, man.
This has to do with the exhibition, they like put props all over the place. So there was another pretty cool prop.
So we got in line to do the Scholastic thing to meet a picture. Yeah, to take a picture in front of that giant book and
the author. I wish I was in line to meet the author.
If only. So you're like in this long line, and it's like this weird spiral line. But then, like once you get to the last leg of it, there's this wall, and they had brooms up, which it was really cool because seeing these brooms in person, you see them for like a split second in the film. You know, you don't get to appreciate that they've got like sweet foot handles and like
the seats on them,
yeah, you know, that kind of detail. But you couldn't see the little plaque that said whose it was, and I was like, what did I guess?
Just kind of assuming that it was like the Nimbuses, but then as we got closer and I was like looking at, I'm like, wait, no, those don't look anything like the Nimbus brooms, like whose yeah. are those?
And the last one I was like, I don't think that's a Firebolt, like it just doesn't look right. So we get up there and the first one is Kingsley Shacklebolt, which mm-hmm. was really cool because I think he's an understated character.
Oh, I love him.
Kingsley is totally BA.
Yeah,
he's awesome. And then the next one blew my mind because I just didn't expect it. Remus Lupin's broom.
Yeah. I'm guessing that that's from the Seven Potters scene. Mm-hmm. That's what we concluded.
I think I freaked out. Meg can know.
Oh my gosh, it was cute.
But and then... Go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
Right next to it, the one that I was like wondering if it was a Firebolt because that's the closest thing I could think to it. It was Tonks's broom. And it was so cool because like in the twigs, there's like, it almost looks like phoenix feathers. And she's got like a rope or something tied to the front of it. Like it just has her own little personal touches to it.
I think we thought it was the Firebolt because of the feather. And we yeah. were like, oh, I wonder if that's like Harry's Firebolt with Buckbeak's feather on it. Yeah. But it wasn't.
It was just really cool. It was just like, there's always something that surprises you there or something. There's always magic in the air at Celebration. And it was
yeah. They always bring cool. unexpected things. So basically what we're trying to say with this first little blip here, because I think a lot of people glaze over the expos because they're like, oh, I can't see what's in there. I'm not going to wait in that line. I'm not going to go. It's a long line to get in. You've got to go in the expos.
I mean, when you go in there, it's
that
like...
is the celebration to me. That's the biggest yes. part of it.
Also, I forgot to mention, I don't remember which, I think it's in Soundstage 21. They do like these chalk drawings on the ground.
It was
and
21.
They're beautiful. They had one of like Luna and her lion head.
And then Luna with her specter specs.
Mm-hmm. And then I think, we didn't get to see the finished one, but I think it was like Harry and Ginny kissing.
Yeah, that terrible kiss they did.
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
Last year they did one because Fantastic Beasts was still like really new. They did like Newt with all his creatures around him.
That
and
one
it was
amazing.
I mean, it looks like you're staring at the poster. These people are incredible.
They also did this year, but I guess it was outside. I never saw it. I just saw pictures, but it was Victor and Hermione at the Yule Ball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really pretty. So yeah, if you ever go to the celebration, do not skip out on the expos. They are life.
Yeah, as Meg said, that is the celebration. Like,
and then also in both of those expos is where you'll find all of the special merchandise for mm-hmm. the celebration weekend. So they have t-shirts and pins and lanyards and magnets. And
1 year they even had socks.
Like, and a blanket. Socks. And yeah. a blanket. We bought it because, you know, why not? They also every year now have a special Harry Potter celebration wand that you can use in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have a lot of really cool stuff, but that's where you can find all of that if you ever go.
Yep.
Oh. This is going to be a long episode. Sorry, guys, because we're like, that was our first point, and we have like four.
Sorry, not sorry. Also, they have in that same soundstage, they have Mina Lima's booth.
Oh, shoot, we totally skipped over Mina Lima.
Yeah, we did.
I was like wrapping it up.
Sorry, one last thing. So they're the graphic designers from the film.
They're our favorite.
Yeah, me and Meg are graphic designers, in case anybody didn't know. So we love them. This is the first year we didn't get to talk to them, which is so sad because
but
we're going to be able to go.
Maybe we'll get to see them.
Right. We're going to be able to go.
To their store in London.
Yes. So their booth got bigger this year, and it's always incredible. The floor is covered in their designs.
Graphics.
The wall is just covered in these framed prints, and it's like... it's screen-printed stuff that they do in-house themselves. So there's gold foil, and everything just looks so real. And then on the ceiling, there's things hanging. Like, you're just surrounded.
They had letters hanging, and then I think it was, like, interdepartmental memos.
Oh, yes.
It was
and then
cool.
They also have, like, these little glass cases that are just, like, full of all, like,
props.
The paper props. And
like, they... well, this year it was a lot of their merchandise. Mm-hmm. But in previous years, they brought props from the film. So they had, like, The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore. They had the Beetle... Tales of Beetle the Bard. History of Magic book. So, like, any graphic that you can think of in the book, they designed. So, like... they came on, this might be, again, something to talk about more so when we get to their panel, but, like, they came on in Sorcerer's Stone thinking about, oh, this is just, like, another movie that we're going to do, and it turned into, like, a decade's worth of work. And yeah. It was also really cool to see, so, like, they've come to every celebration, except maybe the first one. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I'm not positive.
But, like, nobody knew who they were the first time. And, like, their popularity has just exploded since doing the celebration. Now people
really cool.
appreciate the work that they did and understand what Mina Lima did. Like, Mina Lima created almost every single massive prop that you can think of. The Marauder's Map, they designed it.
Which is Mina's favorite.
The Time Turner, they designed it.
Like, these things that we have replicas of in our homes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
These people... took what they had from the book, talked with Joe, figured out what these things should look like, and brought them to life. Like, it
a
blows
history
my mind.
Of magic. The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore, like I said. The
Advanced
Tales of
Potion
Beetle.
Making.
Yeah, the Beetle the Bard book that Dumbledore gave Hermione.
All the newspapers, the proclamations.
Yeah. It's crazy. The amount of...
Work
and everything that they've done for the films is, yeah, pretty amazing.
I honestly, like, as a designer myself... I don't know how they got any of it done.
I don't know how they did everything. Well, she said that they hire on people to help them, but it's
still,
yeah.
Sometimes
two people designed everything for, I mean, they designed every single piece of packaging in the Weasley Wizard Weezer shop.
And they like came up with it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like some of the things they created themselves.
Right.
You know, Like, it wasn't actually, like, a listed prop in the book, or product in the book.
Right, and they worked with JK a lot.
It's blows my mind.
So now we can move on to the panels.
Yes.
So
throughout the day, like we said, it's a very scheduled event. So, you know, 9:30.
The expo is just open, like, pretty much all day. You can go as you please.
So 9:30 to 10:30, there's at this stage, there's this demonstration. And then from 11 to 12, there's this, you know. So, like, constantly there's always something going on either at the studio side park or the adventure side park.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to, like, plan what is important to you so you know which side to be on.
Because we missed a lot of panels. And part of that was because we didn't have Friday. Usually we're there on Friday, and that's when we can do the expo, because there's no panels planned on Friday. But we had to do the expo Saturday and Sunday in the morning, and we had to leave early on Sunday, so we couldn't do everything we wanted to do.
But that's actually a good segue, because on Friday, which we missed this year, sadly, and we will never miss again.
No,
they do an opening night event, which. Originally, the first couple years, it really wasn't...
It was kind of boring.
It really wasn't that big of a deal. But then I think the first one we saw, it was awesome because they had...
they do announcements.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the entire Potter universe saves announcements now for the celebration weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Pottermore will wait to announce things. The exhibition will wait to announce things. The studio tour announces things. Like,
Universal, too.
Yeah. I'm surprised Universal didn't announce what the ride's going to be.
Yeah.
But whatever. I know.
So this year they announced Andrew Lincoln is going to be recording Quidditch Through the Ages.
Which I would have made my weekly profit.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
You guys get a whole bunch of weekly profits today.
We do.
You get a whole daily profit edition. but I think that's super cool because I'm a Walking Dead fan. So,
and a lot of people don't realize he's British.
Yeah.
And he is.
I want him to do a chapter as Rick Grimes.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Coral. Yeah.
Another thing that they announced was the little sneak peek of the concept art for the 20th anniversary editions. What the heck was that?
I don't know.
Something like attacked us. Look at Iggy looking out the window. Oh my god. My cat is so cute, guys. I can't handle it. Oh my god.
He's so cute. You keep talking about it. Take a picture of this.
So you got to see the concept sketch from Brian Selznick, who we then got to meet later on that Saturday and get his autograph, which was really cool. They also announced coming this summer, Harry Potter, the exhibition is heading to Milan. So if any of our listeners are near or in Italy,
check it out.
Lucky you. We got to see the exhibition in Chicago the very first year that it was out. I think Chicago was its first. That was like its grand opening.
Yeah, I think so too.
So the movies were still filming. We didn't get to see everything now that they have in there. I can't wait to go and see it again if it comes back to the U.S. soon.
Oh, we'll be there for sure. We missed the New York one, unfortunately, but
yeah.
I will not miss it again.
No. So yeah, that was pretty much everything that was announced opening night. They also then did a little performance from the film concert series.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then the film talent always comes out as kind of like a kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a good segue into the next panel that we want to talk about, which is the film talent Q&A.
Which we never miss. Sadly, we had to miss the second one on Sunday because we had to be on a plane.
Yeah.
But we saw the one on Saturday, and it was everything I wanted and more.
It was good. It was funny. It was a good group of film talent.
Yeah. It was... Victor Krum.
Who is Stanislav Yanevsky.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ginny Weasley.
Bonnie Wright.
Fred and George Weasley.
Oliver and James Phelps.
And Nymphadora Tonks.
Natalia Tina.
So yeah, it was... what's his name? Stanislav?
Mm-hmm.
He was...
Just call him Stan.
He was hilarious.
Oh my god, he's so funny.
First of all, his accent is adorable. He speaks very good English, but like, his accent was just so cute. And like, sometimes...
It was Krum.
Yeah, it was Krum. Yeah. No acting needed. But
then
they
introduced him as the Bulgarian bonbon, which was just... Oh my god, I lost it. Actually, just so that you guys know, the film talent Q&A is live on our YouTube.
So oh, yes.
It's uploading as we're recording right now, but by the time this is out, it will be on there.
Yeah. So I won't ruin too much for you, but...
Yeah, I don't really think that we should go in depth on it, because, like, it was a 40-minute Q&A. The entire thing...
Was good.
Is good and is on our YouTube page. Just go watch it.
I do want to say, though, so Ivana Lynch, she is Luna Lovegood, you know? She told the people from Potter herself, you know, you can go with someone else if you want to, but you're wrong. Like, I'm Luna.
She's told that story the last time she was here.
Yes. So I have to say that Natalia Tina is Tonks. I mean, she came out, and within 2 seconds, she was exactly who I wanted her to be. She was dropping swear words, and, like, just her general just demeanor, it was perfect.
I'm sorry, Tiffany, I left the swear words in the video, because it's just so Tonks. It was too good. On our YouTube page, she drops a couple S-bombs. You know, it's whatevs. She says Tonks.
She says the A-word.
Yep.
Oh, it was...
It was hilarious. It was really good. I will say... That I don't think Bonnie was there last year.
I think it might have been the year before,
but 2 years ago, she had kind of just so like I know I don't know if all a lot of you guys know this, but like a lot of the Harry Potter stars kind of do their little circuit through the cons, and 2 years ago Bonnie had just started doing that, so she wasn't really very engaging.
She probably wasn't comfortable with it yet,
right? So I was like, whenever they announced her, I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, oh, she's kind of boring. Like, I'm sorry. But, like, just in terms of, like, answering questions and all that kind of stuff, she didn't have good answers. She was very quiet. Didn't seem really like she wanted to be there. But let me tell you, this year... And I know that she's done the con round because we saw her at Steel City Con. And she was better at Steel City Con than she was the first celebration weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
But this time, she was very engaging. She had really good answers. She was funny. She seemed like she was really happy to be there. She seemed happy to be with Oliver and James and, like, hanging out with Stan and Natalia. Like, they all seemed like they were just having really good chemistry together. They went to Rising Star on Saturday night, the karaoke bar in Universal. I really enjoyed her this year. And Natalia was hilarious. Stan was also hilarious. He was really good. So if you want to check out the Q&A, go to our YouTube page. It's there in its entirety for you to view. Mm-hmm. Next up is the panel for Mina Lima, mm-hmm. which is one that we never miss. Again, probably because we're graphic designers, but we love hearing them talk about their time on the film.
And you know we love them because we stood in the pouring rain.
Oh my God.
Absolute pouring. Meg's shoes got so soaked when she was walking, bubbles were coming out of them. And then she threw them away and bought shoes at the airport that night. So we love these people. And we even had ponchos and we still got soaked.
I know.
Crazy. So yeah, they show you like...
Again, every year the celebration has a theme, kind of.
Yes.
Last year it was the dark arts. The year before that it was like the candy shop or something. And then the 2 years before that they didn't really have themes. It was just kind of like, yeah. But this year, though, was the Weasley Wizard Weezes. Mm-hmm. Because the twins were there, they focused on the packaging for the Weasley Wizard Weezes shop.
And it's funny because they've told this story before, but they told it again this year. That the first round, they were put in charge of making all this packaging for all of Weasley Wizard Weezes. And the first round, they submitted what they made.
And they designed it as Mirafora and Eduardo.
Right. And who was it? Was it the director? Was it David Yates?
I think it was Stuart Craig.
Oh, yeah, Stuart Craig.
Stuart Craig was their boss, basically.
Yeah. He was like, no.
This is all wrong.
This is wrong. This is you guys designing it. This is supposed to be two teenage boys trying to sell.
Do it quick.
Yeah, do it quick. Get the product on the shelf. They just want to sell. So they went back and like purposefully made it like
bad packaging,
like colors that just like vibrate against each other and like clash and don't look good, but they still managed to make it look amazing. So I thought that was a funny little tidbit.
Yeah. And they They always talk about their favorite pieces. Mirafora always says that her favorite is the Marauder's Map.
And that they had to revisit it like 100 times because...
Because the first time they designed it, you hadn't really seen all the places in the castle that you're going to see. So as the films went on, the map kind of evolved, which is just a cool concept.
Right, like what they needed it for in 3, they may not have needed, you know, the hallway they were going to be down in 6 or whatever, so... They had to constantly be adding and changing, which, good God, that thing is just all words, so...
It's cool. Yeah. It's just such a cool concept, how she made it. Mm-hmm. And then Eduardo always says his favorite is the Daily Prophet.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got to do so many versions of the Prophet. That's my... I mean, the Daily Prophet is why I love Order of the Phoenix so much.
Yeah.
I mean... I just love the design that they do for it.
And he said that he loves that it came back in Fantastic Beasts, because they're also the designers for Fantastic Beasts.
Of course they
are. As well.
He was like, yeah, I loved designing the New York Ghost.
Yeah.
And then he hinted at another one. I'm guessing it's Paris's newspaper.
What did he say?
He just said, and I'm sure it comes back in the next one, another one that we have to design. So, yeah. And then some other panels that they have, you can learn wand combat skills with the guy who created wand combat for Harry Potter. His name is Paul Harris.
He's so funny and so engaging. And he comes out there and he has his wand and he tells everybody in the crowd to pull out their wands. And like, he shows you offensive and defensive.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool, and he, like, puts a whole little choreographed piece together, and you, like, do it all.
Yeah, and then they bring out these Death Eaters, and, like, everyone in the crowd has to, like, attack these Death Eaters.
Yeah, it's so fun.
I also filmed that, so.
Yes. And then they also do a Harry Potter Knowledge Challenge, where it's, like, trivia. You have to go and, like, ask to be a part of it, and they pick teams, and then you can win prizes. It's really fun. And then some other ones that they have, they had, like, behind the scenes with costumes in the films, behind the scenes of visual effects.
Which we missed, and I'm sad.
They also had a panel on the new Hogwarts Mystery game that we missed. Dance Like a Beauxbatons and Battle Like a Durmstrang. They teach you choreography.
I think that's really just for little kids, unfortunately.
Yeah, but they teach you, like, ribbon dancing and then, like, the acrobatic stuff that the Durmstrangs do. And then
they like bring kids up on stage and like teach them. It's really cool.
And then usually they have talent come out to some of these panels and they'll like pop in as a guest.
Oh, hey, surprise. We have someone here who's going to help us learn wand combat. And I think it was James or Oliver.
Yeah.
Excuse me for not knowing which one it was. But.
And then the last panel that we got to go to was Cine Concerts, Sound and Image, The Magic Behind the Music, and The Journey to Construct a Complete Score Live to Picture, which is the Harry Potter film concert series. Mm-hmm. And this was actually a really cool panel. They talked about how the music isn't written to be played the way that they play it. I mean, whenever John Williams writes the score to a film, he'll write a little blurb here, a little blurb there, and they're meant to be recorded separately and then placed over the film.
Like, it's not meant to be played start back to finish.
Yeah, so whenever they did this, they basically had to, like, rework the score. And that was what was on display in their panel, or in their expo section, was the music that the guy who's doing this wrote over to, like, fix the score. And, like, he was saying sometimes the score's never even written down. Like,
yes,
John Williams is very good with it, so all of the ones that John Williams did, 1 through 3, those are all, you know, good to go, because he is, like, religious with writing down every single note. But other composers don't do that. They literally will just do it by ear, and they tell people how to play it, and it is what it is, and it's never written down. So, like, he has to literally listen to some of the songs and recompose them.
That's some talent, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, you could tell the way he talked about it. He had such a passion for what he does.
Yeah.
So you know that the Cine Concerts are in good hands.
Yeah, and I highly recommend going to one. It's...
We get dressed up and, like, make a big thing out of it, and it's so always fun. Really fun.
Okay, so that was all the panels, really.
Yeah.
Next, we wanted to touch on cosplays. This is my second favorite thing about Celebration Weekend. My first is the expo halls. Second is the cosplays.
Walking around and seeing what people have probably worked all year on is amazing. Like, me and Meg, we love just going as our student outfits. Like, we've worked to get those to perfection. Mm-hmm. Meg actually had someone, like, ask her where something was because they thought that she worked there. But,
I answered because I knew. But right. Then I was like, but I don't work here.
I mean, like, we could tell you anything you need to know. But yeah, like, I remember I was walking to the bathroom and I passed this guy. I swear it could have been Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander. His face.
Yeah. He won the cosplay contest.
Yeah, if you want to go look it up, he won it. His face, his demeanor, which, I mean, I don't know if he planned that, but, I mean, everything. Even his coat looked like the proper worn look. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was perfect.
It wasn't a coat that he just, like, went and bought the one at Hot Topic right. or something. Like, yeah. I don't know where he found it or if he made it. Oh, my God, it was perfect. And then there's some really good Umbridges. Mm-hmm. There's my favorite cosplay always. This guy wears it every year. His name's Diego.
This is the first year I didn't run into him anywhere.
I know. I didn't see him anywhere. But I know he was there because he posted pictures on Facebook. But he does a cosplay of Professor Snape in Neville's grandma's clothes.
The Boggart Snape.
Oh my God, it's so perfect.
Again, walking by him, you'd think that it was him because he even looks like Snape.
He like just looks like Alan Rickman. Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so, I mean, he's got the vulture hat and like the proper cobwebs in it, and he's got the bag and he wears the high heels. Yep. It's so good.
I also saw a Slughorn as the chair. Mm-hmm. A lot of Moaning Myrtles.
Mm-hmm. I saw someone who, like, was a toilet for the Ministry of Magic.
I saw that, too. Yeah, that was funny. Yeah,
I didn't see this one girl, but she's been there. I'm sure she was there. She paints her whole body. She's a golden snitch. Her whole body is gold.
I saw a Cornish pixie.
Really?
Yeah, she's all blue with wings.
I believe that there were some people who, like, had these custom-made outfits so that they were the Marauders as, like, their animal forms. Uh-huh. It was pretty cute.
I saw some Founders, so like Helga yes. Hufflepuff, oh. Rowena.
I read this funny story in one of these groups that I'm in on Facebook. There was a couple, they were Godric Gryffindor and Helga Hufflepuff, and they went to the Hogshead to get drinks, and they sell alcohol there. So Helga ordered some sort of alcoholic beverage, and they said, okay, can we see your ID? And she gave them her chocolate frog card, and she ended up getting a free drink because they loved it so much. So, like, these people, I mean, the people you just run into here, it's, there's no words for it. It's just so good and so fun.
Yeah, do you want to move on from cosplays?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anyone else. But shout out to anybody who puts in this. Shout out to
everybody who does that. And do we want to talk about if we have any plans for next year for cosplays? I want to do something cool, but I'm not sure what I want to do.
I don't. If you guys have any ideas, we would love to.
What do you want to see Katie and I go as next year to the celebration weekend?
It could be a couple.
Yeah. It could not be a couple. It could not be a couple. Matter.
It could be creatures. It could be anything. We just need something good and preferably something that is something unique. Yeah.
Something very, like, I loved the Slughorn as the chair.
Yeah, like, I've never
like
seen
something
that
like that. I also saw a petrified Hermione. She even had a pillow attached to the back of her head and a mirror. Something crazy like that. Shout us your ideas.
Yeah, we
tell us on Twitter or tell us on Facebook,
because we got to get started on it, because we got less than a year before the next one. Okay, so next we want to talk about the nighttime light show. So this is new.
Especially, they did a Christmas one.
Yeah, so what they do is, I mean, if you've ever been to Disney, Disney does this as well. So they
on Cinderella Castle and on the Chinese Theater at Hollywood.
Yes, bless you. So what they do is they have this light projection show that they put on the castle. So for Christmas, it legitimately looked like there was snow on the castle and like a tree in the courtyard.
I also have the Christmas show on our YouTube page, so you can go check it out.
And like it looked like ghosts were flying around, and then at one point they turned it into Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, and it was like Bogger Banger and like dung bombs and like all this crazy stuff. So for this weekend, they debuted a brand new Lighttime show, which I believe is permanent now.
Or going right now, it's not, but I feel like it will be.
Yeah.
They're just doing it, like, a handful of dates throughout February and then seeing how it goes and if people like it, which I'm sure they will, and I don't know why they won't just make it permanent, but yeah.
So what it basically was like, you know, you got this music swelling around you and, like, God, it gives you feels, and it's
They have these little very pine emotional. Cones in all of the trees as well, mm-hmm. like around the castle. And you just think like, oh, it's pine trees with pine cones. But the pine cones are lights. So at night during this show, like all of the trees everywhere light up.
Like the music will swell and like it'll like light up like magic just went through all the trees. But basically the gist of the show was the houses. So it would like it like lit up with the Ravenclaw crest, and then they had like a little show with like I think an eagle swooped or something, and then it was Hufflepuff and there was like a big badger and it was like stripey, and then it was Slytherin and it like got all dark and there was snakes,
a really cool snake that like looked like the dark mark and it was like gonna attack you,
and then it was like Gryffindor with a giant roaring lion.
Slytherin was the coolest, I'm just saying.
I feel bad for the Ravenclaws because it was the first one that came out. It was the start of the show. You didn't grasp the concept that they're going through the houses yet. And that one was like 2 seconds long.
It was the shortest.
Hufflepuff was a little longer, but then you get the Slytherin, which I think was the longest.
Definitely.
And then they get to Gryffindor. And then like after that, though, it like wrapped up real quick. So
it was very short. The Christmas one was a lot longer, and I think it was a lot better.
There's no denying it was really cool and amazing.
It was awesome, but the Christmas one was better. So I hope that they just add more to it.
Yeah, like, I mean,
it's like 5 minutes long.
You wait in line and then like you get there and it's so cool, but then it's over.
Yeah.
So they need to make it a little bit longer.
They how need about, to like double about, the length of it, honestly.
How about 7 minutes long?
Yeah.
I don't have my bell. Ding.
All right. Something memorable that we're taking away from the celebration this year. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So I want to say that just the atmosphere in general, I mean, every year, but this year it struck me at this one particular moment. It was just, we were waiting in line when we got there early, unconsciously knowing we were already waiting 2 hours. And I
told her to get coffee.
Right. So she saves my place in line. It's a pretty long walk from where we were to the Starbucks that they have there. So I walked all the way there, I got the coffee, and I was just walking back. I'm in my costume, you know, I'm in my Hufflepuff tie and my vest, and I'm walking past, it wasn't really crowded, but there was a Slytherin and a Gryffindor, and they were holding hands, and they just looked at me, and, like, there was just this smile of, like, knowing, you know, like, just this bond real quick. And then I passed them, and I passed another person, and it was, like, the same smile and feel. And
everyone's just so happy to be there, and they're all there for the same reason.
It's just like,
it's a great feeling.
It's kind of like when you go out to the store or something and you see someone
in a Harry Potter shirt.
Right. And you share that little moment because that's just how this fandom is.
Yeah.
We all share this thing. I don't even have a word for it. And that's just what the whole weekend is. And that's why I love it so much.
Yeah. My memorable moment from this year is definitely just all of the people that we met while waiting in those long lines. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Marie. She made that wait fly by. She has been to London. She gave us all of these tips and tricks for our trip. We exchanged phone numbers. She even sent me like the tour that they used to set up for Leavesden Studios. And like, it was just a really awesome experience. And, like, other people that we talked to, too, with Marie. There were other people in line that we had conversations with. We were talking about flights to London and
I mean, like Meg said, you're waiting these long lines, but all these people are there for the same reason you're there. So you all have something very large in common. And it's very easy to just, I'm super shy, but it's super easy for me to just strike up conversations with people while I'm there because you all share this bond.
Yeah. So that's, meeting all these awesome people is what makes the celebration special. I don't really have any lightning bolt round questions.
I'll ask something.
Okay.
Who is like the new film talent you think will come next year? Like one person or that you hope for maybe. Obviously like
Emma.
Don't say Emma or Dan, but.
Well, first of all, I want Rupert to come back. He did it 2 years ago. But he wasn't. He wasn't as good as I wanted him to be in terms of like the Q&A. He didn't show up to the autograph session, which makes me like worried that they're never going to invite him back because like they went to Rising Star and he apparently got drunk. And that's why he didn't come to the autograph session.
Do you know how he can make up for that? if he comes back with his ice cream truck and rolls around the streets giving out butterbeer ice cream.
But yeah, he was like super inaccessible. They like didn't really take him anywhere to like meet with people. So I'd like to see him again. But in terms of somebody new, like totally new.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen, but it'd be really cool to speculate.
I would really like to see Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh.
But I feel like she's too popular of an actress.
I don't know.
But Natalia Tena did it, and she's in Goblet of Fire.
She's not, actually.
She's in Game of Thrones and, like, pretty popular with that. So, I mean, it's possible. I would love to see her, though. Like, can you imagine, like, Paul Harris bringing her out for the dueling session?
Oh, my,
oh
God.
My God. That would be so cool.
Oh, my God. She would be so into it. I just want to hear her do, like, her high-pitched Bellatrix shriek. Yeah. I'm trying to think of someone. I mean, obviously, I want David Thewlis there. Because
I was going to say David Thewlis, but I saved it for you.
Thank you. Okay, well, then that's mine, because I would lose my mind.
Me somebody else, because that's too predictable.
I told Meg that if he ever does it, we're buying the VIP package, because I need to meet him.
If David Thewlis does it and Rupert Grint did it at the same time, that'd be perfect, because I would pay for the VIP package.
No, they need to have David Thewlis and Gary Oldman do it.
Oh, Gary Oldman.
But again,
he's a
big dude. God, who would I want?
You know who else I want? Because he was supposed to be there 1 year, but he couldn't.
Oh, yes.
Robbie Coltrane.
He was there, but he got sick.
As soon as he landed, he, like, came down with the flu.
Like a hospitalized flu.
Yeah, was in Celebration Hospital, like, all weekend, and then just flew home. I felt so bad.
I feel like he'll never come again because he thinks it's cursed.
But that would be cool.
I can't think of, I asked this question, and I can't think of an answer myself.
Come on.
I'm thinking. Ooh, how about Julie Walters?
Yeah.
Or Maggie Smith?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, though, I'm really...
That'd be so good.
I'm super ready for them to start incorporating Fantastic
Yes,
Beasts.
That's a good point.
I want Queenie to come. Allison Sudol, bring Queenie.
Jacob.
Bring Queenie and Jacob.
Yes.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Oh, that'd be so cute.
And, you know, I know that they don't have anything Fantastic Beasts really in the parks, but...
Hey.
I'm ready for them to start incorporating it into the celebration weekend. Bring it on. It's part of the Harry Potter universe.
It's part of the fam.
It's new and upcoming. Get people excited for the new movies. Bring it. Yeah, they need to start bringing. I bet Eddie Redmayne would do it.
Does the movie come out next year? Not this year, right?
No, it's this year.
Oh, see, well, then they should have brought him this year. Not that I'm complaining about the talent, because it was amazing.
Yeah, it's this year, this fall. Which I'm surprised that they didn't release a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Whatever. We should run this stuff.
Fan story, Kate.
All right.
Can you read that?
Yes. So our fan story this week comes from Meredith Courtney. She says, just wanted to say I'm such a fan of the podcast to the point where I listen to it at work. And I work in a greenhouse, so it travels and echoes, and it's awesome.
Thank you.
You are a wonderful Professor Sprout. I also wanted to share with you guys my Harry Potter story. As a kid, my dad was in prison. In my mind, it was forever, but in actuality, it was only 7 years. That's kind of funny, though.
Ding.
Ding. I forged such a strong bond with him through Harry Potter over the miles of distance and one or two phone calls a week. We both would eagerly read the chapters to hear what the other loved and how we reacted and picked favorite scenes.
Picked a favorite scene. The mouse is right over there.
And drew it and would send our doodles to each other. It was such a pure and good connection. Unfortunately, that stopped after book 3 when my dad was released. We never talk anymore, but as a child, young adult, and adult, I craved and still craved the love I felt reading through those books because I feel that bond with him again. It's like reliving that connection. Even waiting for the new books to release, I still got that rush of that bond. Listening to your podcast helps me feel that bond again, too. And it's so wonderful. I feel like I can be in this happy place and share this bond again. I'm so thankful to have found Swish and Flick. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that you don't talk anymore. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, so. You know, but as I say with probably every fan story, I mean, Hogwarts always welcomes you home. And I'm glad that home.
Yeah, that home reminds you of that connection.
Yes, that you still, you know, that you haven't let it honestly beat you down. You just cherish it.
I'm glad that having this connection doesn't make you sad. It makes you happy. Because I feel like some people would let it make them sad. So
I love that you have taken the good and the positivity of it and that you still cherish it. That's amazing. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Yeah. All right. So our like 5-hour episode has come to a close.
We're just a little passionate, guys. Sorry.
The celebration weekend is amazing. Oh, I could talk about it more. Make sure you join our group on Facebook to use for discussion on each episode. We love chatting with everybody. And also like our page to get all of the latest info. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter and Instagram. You can also join us on Patreon for lots of exclusive content and other surprises. Our Bow Truckle and higher patrons get access to the Felix Files, and we bring you a special Patreon-only podcast every other week. Our Phoenix-level patrons also join us for a monthly Google Hangout, which is always a blast, and they also get to be a guest on the Felix Files. So if any of that sounds at all fun or interesting, make sure that you go over to www.patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level. It helps us to be able to afford equipment to make us better and monthly fees to keep the podcast going.
And we've been getting, this past week, we got a couple new
Phoenix patrons.
So we're super excited about that. And they joined like just in time to be in our hangout. So that was really cool. It's really fun to see new faces.
Yeah.
And to share all this with you. We can't thank you enough. So, Tiffany, I'm sorry. I'm stealing this week. But that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Are you ready for it?
Ready for it.
Celebration is life. I'm excited to talk about it. Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Swish and Flick. I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie. You're oh, to this continue. Is me. All right. And this episode is Let's sponsored. Start. Why?
You know, whenever it's yellow, that means Katie talks.
I'm not used to this. What's black mean?
Both of us.
Oh, okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.